You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
This week, we are celebrating 100 years of God's blessings on KFUO with historic broadcasts.
Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Today's first historic broadcast is from the 25th anniversary of KFUO in 1949. KFUO host Elmer Knernschild interviews KFUO founder John Fritz.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, it is our pleasure to bring before our KFUO microphone for a special silver anniversary feature, a gentleman who, if anyone has any right to be on a broadcast of this kind, is certainly deserving of the honor we hope to pay him in this next quarter hour. He is Dr. John H.C. Fritz, the present chairman of the KFUO Radio Committee and a charter member of that committee, which means that his membership in guiding the affairs and destinies, of course, with the help of God, of KFUO, the Gospel Voice, goes back to the beginning of its 25 years. Dr. Fritz, would you be so gracious and kind as to share some of your reminiscences and memories with our radio audience?
I'd be glad to do that. In those years, 25 years ago, radio was something entirely new. In fact, it was a very novel thing. And one of our members of the Board of Control at that time was sent to Dr. Richard Kretschmar. He became very enthusiastic about radio work and thought that our church body, our Missouri Synod, ought to have a radio. Well, the matter was talked over for some time, and finally the Board of Control consented that we should have a radio put in the attic of our old seminary. At that time, everything was in very primitive condition. Our old seminary was three stories, and the attic, of course, was the fourth story. We were about ready to get out of there. Built our new seminary out here on the Demund Tract, so we didn't pay much attention to repairs. The stairs going up to the attic were quite squeaky. We made two rooms up there, rather primitive affairs. One was served the studio, and the other was the room for the operator. Our programs in those days were only few. We didn't broadcast all day long. In fact, we couldn't because we shared time with KSD.
I understand you had about 2 hours of programming a week in those early days. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was very, well, just a few hours. And for many years, we shared time with KSD. And in those days, we had even one silent night that was throughout the country. There was a silent evening so that other stations could be heard. And since radio was something very novel, people would write in more so than they do today. We had what was called echo stamps. They were something like the Christmas stamps that are sold today by the Tuberculosis Society and other organizations. And people would write in, and we'd send them one of those echo stamps, and they'd try to get as many as they could to show how many stations throughout the country they could hear. And in those days, many stations could be heard. That is, when I say many stations, that is, the stations that were on the air. There weren't so many on the air at that time, because the lanes were free. The reason why we can't go very far today is because there are too many radio stations. There's too much interference.
I'm glad you brought up that point, Dr. Fritz. Some of our listeners wonder why it is that with 5,000 watts today, we cannot be heard as far as KFUO was heard in those days with 500 watts. The reason is, of course, that the AM band, the regular broadcast band, is almost, well, it is practically full of radio stations, and any other station that comes on now just limits the coverage of stations already on the dial. So that KFUO at 850, though it has 5,000 watts of power, must yield to the dominant station on this frequency, which is KOA, a 50,000 watt station in Denver. And there's WJW, a 5,000 watt ABC station in Cleveland. And there are stations to the south and to the west of us. And every time they put another station there, it just kind of builds a fence around us. Now, either we can jump over the fence with increased power, or we can stay inside the corral, you might say, that the FCC has made for us. But I'm glad you brought that up, because many of our listeners are wondering how it is that we don't get out as far today as we did in those days. Do you recall some of the distant points that used to report reception?
Yes, we covered practically the whole United States at that time. And the explanation has been given. With 500 watts, we got out much farther than we do today with 5,000. For the very reason that has been mentioned, we're compared to a few stations on the air, we were heard from coast to coast. Even we got out, we received some letters from people that were out on the ocean, they heard us.
Yes, I recall looking through some of the historical documents that are kept in the files. There was a report from a radio operator aboard a steamer out of New York on the Atlantic Ocean who picked up a Bible study and sent in a set of questions. He said, I want to participate in your Bible study of the air. Well, he only got it that day because the next day he was without or outside the range, but it was rather interesting to get a report like that. If we get one today of that kind, we'd certainly be happy. However, for the benefit of our dubious friends who think we don't have as much power as we ought to have, whenever our DX broadcasts are on the air and they have been discontinued for the interim by the FCC, those reports are worldwide. The last one brought a report from London, England, one from Dunedin, New Zealand. You were down that part of the country a number of years ago.
A number of years ago.
Mm-hmm, you know where that is. Well, it's all interesting, all these things that come to mind as we talk about the early days of radio. I wonder, are there any particular instances that stand out in your memory, Dr. Fritz? Oh, they might be embarrassing, they might be inspiring, they might be almost anything. You mentioned those echo stamps. I suppose people saved them much as the amateur operators still save their... They call them QSL cards. And, of course, our little ham radio station up in the attic, W0OLR, is accumulating those. And the boys from the seminary who are operating that, trying to make worldwide contacts, have received reports from far distant places. But were there any reports that you got in those days that stand out in your memory?
Well, I don't remember any special reports just now. One interesting feature at that time was that we didn't have a big staff. Now we have 35 people on our staff here. That time we had two, Dr. Meyer and I. We were the staff.
We got
out the programs and did the announcing and attended to the mail and everything in connection that had to be done with the broadcasting.
When we asked for impressions then, there were so many that crowded in upon you two men that it was very difficult to retain any of them. They would have had to have been tremendous in order to have made an impression along with the other duty that you had. And of course you were also professor at the seminary at the same time.
Yes, Worth Seminary also, yeah.
Well, it certainly shows that the Lord has blessed the work of KFUO so that from a part-time hobby, let us say, of two consecrated men of the faculty, it has become an operation that takes, as you have indicated, 35 people full-time to do the job. And even then it's growing, and there are phases of the operation in which we are doubling up, trebling up and quadrupling up in order to get the work out. So we certainly must admit that the Lord has blessed this work. Well, now you spoke of yourself and Dr. Meyer. What kind of an operation was that? What kind of the programs did you have?
Well, our programs were along simple lines. We had addresses of some of our pastors, and occasionally we'd have a soloist, hardly ever a choir in those days. Of course, we didn't need very much program material because you only had such few programs on the air.
Did you use recordings in those days?
No, we didn't use other recordings.
I think for a while recordings were not permitted on
that radio. I don't remember, but we didn't use them.
All live programs?
They're all live programs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the results concerned, of course, in the course of years, we've had very fine results. We've received many letters in the course of years and do up to this time of people that have been blessed by the work that we're doing. Of course, our real purpose... our station is, as the name suggests, the Gospel Voice. By the way, that name was given it by Dr. Meyer.
So I understand. Do you know how that came about? Is there a story connected?
No, there's no story connected with it. He simply called it the Gospel Voice. And it is the Gospel Voice. Of course, we have other programs, but principally we like to preach the Gospel, as the Lord has commanded us to do, so that people may learn to know of their Savior. And we've had very fine results along that line. Many people have written in. Many of them have been brought to Christ through our preaching over the radio, and others have been strengthened their faith. And also many shut-ins, people at home that can't go out, can't even attend church Sundays, and people in hospitals and even in institutions, even penal institutions, have written in. And they listen to our programs. Glad to hear them.
Well, we have been talking in terms of the past for a while, and your last remarks, Dr. Pritz, were in terms of the present, could we perhaps say something about the future of KFUO? As chairman of the KFUO radio committee, you have your finger on the pulse of what is brewing and what is about to be. Can we tell our listeners that KFUO will continue to keep forward, upward, and onward?
Yes, our purpose is not to remain at a standstill. But we want to go forward. We want to increase our power if we can do that. And to get much better service than we're giving today. And reach more people. We can do that if we get more power. And, of course, the more people we can reach, the better we like it, because the better the purpose of our station will be served.
What would you say about the response on the part of people over the years? Has it been generous? Has it indicated that there is a need for a station like KFUO?
Well, there's no question about it.
I mean, not only in their statements we like to listen, but also with their willingness to support this gospel broadcast.
Our station, as you know, is not a commercial station. We get all our money to support the station by the freewill offerings of the people. And it's really marvelous, remarkable, that people have contributed enough to pay the expenses. And we have, through the years, always had enough money to take care of our current expenses. Not only that, but we've expanded. We've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, over half a million, if not much more than that, in expansion work.
Yes, I remember when I first came to KFUO and joined the staff. Of course, I had been with the station as a student before that, but in 1940, I'm thinking of, when our program operation began to expand, our newsroom was in the basement, and there were cinders on the floor, and our teletype was set on a platform of planks, and sometimes in the morning we had to compete with mice and rats who decided that they'd wanted to gnaw on the newsprint. Now we have a very fine newsroom, and Studio C, from which we're speaking now, is beautifully designed and decorated in a kind of a pink color, and we have the latest box on the wall. All our technical facilities are up to date, and even better things are in prospect for the future. So there has been quite a change from the very early day. Many of our listeners, of course, take our operation for granted. I am referring again to the marvelous support that so many of our listeners have tendered us. Many folks who take a good thing for granted, they don't realize that it takes people, it takes the blessing of the Lord, it takes money, and many things to keep it going. I wonder if briefly, Dr. Fritz, you would refer to the gentleman of whom you are the... Which group you are the chairman. I'm referring to the KFUO radio committee, to inform our listeners how these men function and what they do.
The station, KFUO, belongs to our synod, the Lutheran Church, the Missouri Synod. And it's under the supervision of the Board of Control of Concordia Seminary. And that, in turn, has elected a radio committee to look after the details and is responsible for the operation of the station. As a rule, the committee meets once a month. We have some very fine men on the committee, and they're very devoted to the cause, take much interest in the station, and that means much for the success of our work here. It's always a pleasure to work with them. And especially, I would like to say that our director of our station, the Reverend Dr. Holstein, who's been with us 24 years this fall, is very devoted to his work here, and says that we owe much to him, sort of the operation and success of the station.
Well, Dr. Fritz, our 14 minutes and 30 seconds have flown by all too rapidly, and I'm afraid we're going to have to conclude our interview, but it's... we want to thank you for joining us and for sharing your reminiscences of the past 25 years with us, and may the Lord grant you his blessings for the future, continue your interest in the works of the Gospel Voice, and may he bless us all as we carry out his great commission of preaching the gospel through all.
We'll continue with more historic broadcasts in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
This week, we're celebrating 100 years of God's blessings on KFUO with historic KFUO broadcasts.
Our next historic broadcast is also from the 25th anniversary of KFUO in 1949. KFUO host Elmer Knernshield interviews Mrs. Kretschmar, wife of Dr. Richard Kretschmar, one of the founders of KFUO Radio.
Among the many people whose knowledge of KFUO's beginnings and whose memories of its originations can be told in their own words is a fine lady who sits opposite us at the microphone here in Studio A at KFUO at the present time. I am speaking of Mrs. Richard Kretschmar, the wife of the sainted Dr. Richard Kretschmar, the man who is credited with having thought of the idea of starting a radio station, and from whose idea and dream KFUO was finally built. Mrs. Kretschmar, we want to welcome you here to KFUO. We're very happy that you are able to be with us here. I understand you had a birthday celebration yesterday. You are just 80 years old, isn't that right? Well, we hope that we can add our congratulations to the thanks and to the expressions of those people who are with you at home. Our thanks again for being with us, and now we'd like to ask you some questions concerning the beginnings of KFUO. Being the wife of the sainted Dr. Kretschmar, you, of course, were able to hear some conversations and to listen to his ideas about the broadcasting of the gospel over the air in those days 25 years ago. I wonder if you'd care to tell us just how this whole idea began. I understand it was somewhere out west, wasn't it?
Dr. Meyer was to be the speaker at the dedication of the research sanitarium. And we happened to be on a trip, and we were there together. And it was not my husband alone that had the idea. I think they did that together, Dr. Meyer and my husband.
I see.
And when we were out in the mountains having a very nice time with the dear Pastor Fire Ducks at the time, being at the sanitarium, took us, and they disappeared. I don't know how far away they were, but I guess
who disappeared?
They,
your husband and Dr. Meyer?
Yeah, Dr. Meyer and my husband. And, well, we did just not know where they went to. They didn't go far because we could hear them when they'd answer the call. And Mrs. Firejack had a nice supper ready for us. And when we called, they answered, but they never came. And when they finally came, Mrs. Firetaff said, "Now, I cannot help if my supper is cold." They said, "Well, we have to decide first whether the Senate will have a radio or not, a broadcasting station to preach the gospel that everybody should hear." Naturally, that was taken up like almost a joke, or nobody could understand how we'll get such an idea. But it was, I think, the very beginning.
The very beginning. I might explain for the benefit of our listeners, especially our younger listeners, that for churchmen to have the idea that the gospel could be broadcast in those early days was quite unusual because radio itself was still in its infancy. This year, KFUO is celebrating its silver anniversary, and the radio industry is only 3 years older than our station, so that this thing in 1924 or 23, that was, wasn't it, when the dedication of the Weidrich Sanitarium took place. The station didn't come into being until some time later. Much work had to be done. Back in those days, people just couldn't imagine what a wonderful thing radio would turn out to be. And so it is all the more to the credit of your sainted husband and Dr. Meyer that they thought that this thing, unexplained, it wasn't fully developed, just had hardly been born. It was like a baby in three-cornered pants, as it were. But they thought that this thing, this new technical development, could serve the cause of preaching the gospel. I say it's to their credit and also to the glory of God that all this came about. Well, now, after that meeting out there, or did you want to say something more about the...
Then they applied to the bomb.
Yes, to
they just had to plan very much where and how, but it didn't take so long. They decided it must be with the seminary connected somehow. Then it took some time to first find that it could be done maybe in the attic up there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very small and sometimes a little encouraging to get that. But finally, it was at least so that they said, oh, we will have the first broadcasting. And
you know something about some of those early broadcasts? Did you have a radio in your home?
A little crystal set.
A crystal set.
The oldest son, brother, had brought the youngest brother a little crystal set. We had that up in a boy's room. And when the first broadcasting came, we had quick run across the street with Professor Böckler at the time, professor here at the seminary, was called so he should hear it too. And of course, the boys had to be very quiet. And when we heard the first, we all had to come and hold the earpieces because everybody wants to hear the first thing. And it was, of course, very little, not much to be heard. I don't know what they said.
Yes, well, that's right. It's something like television is now, you know. Just the thrill of being able to hear and see at the same time is something that makes everybody excited today. And in those days, being able to hear something coming out of the air, well, that was truly wonderful.
Then, of course, there was always much planning and what to do this and that and what they would have to have because they really would get it. And switching the volume.
All right.
And I once made the remark, how can it ever be done? Senate has so many things to pay and never enough money. And then will they be willing to give for that? And my dear husband said, to preach the gospel, there is nothing too expensive. They build churches, they are ever so expensive. And if we have the radio, many more people will hear it than they ever go to church.
Well, I think that that was a wonderful expression on his part. Well, we'll give you a chance to recollect some of your memories, Mrs. Kretschmar. I know that this takes you way back many, many years. But I want to say again in comment upon your husband's remark about the radio being an effective means of reaching people with the gospel. It is true, and it has been true for all these 25 years, that the gospel over the air gets into places where a minister of the gospel might never set foot. We get reports daily, telephone conversations and letters and expressions by word of mouth from people who have heard KFUO and are thankful that the Lord granted them the privilege of hearing the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Are there any other memories that you would like to share with us?
Well, perhaps I'd like to say that he was very, very happy when he then came home, when he visited Walter Lee North. I think it was in St. Paul or Minneapolis. And that they consented to give 7,000,
I think it was,
so.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he was so happy. Now they could go ahead and try a little more because they really had some money.
Yes.
And then the student himself, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think all that was borne out in the recording of your husband's speech of dedication, which was read by your son, Pastor Carl Kretschmar, which preceded us on the air and which our listeners have already heard. But you were present the other week when we had a little testimonial dinner for Dr. Fritz, who was a charter member of the KFUO Radio Committee. He was one of the men who, after this idea of your husband's was developed, stepped in to help make it come into being. We sang a hymn there, and I understand that you were very much moved.
I would like to add there, yes, that when they had, he said, so now we have a committee. And I made it a mark and another evening to always go out to the seminary for meetings. And he said, no, the Dean Fritz is going to do that.
I see.
And so I was very happy. And the other evening, that was all brought to me when I could be happy to be with them and celebrate. I felt highly honored to be able to celebrate with them.
We're very happy you could be there.
Yeah. And then we sang song.
All right. Now, what song is that? Let's share that with our listeners, too. Well, it's first the praise to the Lord, the Almighty, but the words that particularly...
Well, that was the whole song. It's very lovely, and we Christians all love to sing it at such occasions. But when it came to the, hast thou not seen how your desires all have been granted, and granted in what he ordained? Well, I'm not quite right.
That's right. And the point you would like to make is that your husband, who had this wonderful idea 25 or more years ago, he has not been able to see KFUO going to its full blossom because the Lord has called him home, but could he have seen the great development that has taken place here, he would have sung his praises of the greatness of the Lord and his goodness, even as he had and as he did through all the years that he was privileged to be with us. And I'm sure that he is singing the praises of the Lord for his goodness in heaven now, and that he joins us on our 25th anniversary, and that he must derive great satisfaction from knowing that this endeavor of faith in which he embarked along with others back in those early days has been blessed by Almighty God, and that its success has become not only local and regional around the states of Missouri and Illinois and the neighboring ones, but that an offshoot of it is being heard throughout the world. Well, I want to thank you very much, Mrs. Pechmar, for being with us.
I think it's so ugly to mention a show is incomplete.
No, it isn't incomplete. You have told a story that no other living person could have told us, and you have been most gracious in being with us here, and we truly appreciate the sacrifice of time and effort it took to join us.
It's just so you know what to say it over the telephone, but yeah. And Dr. Myers and we will always be close friends, especially when they were still down in our neighborhood. You know?
Yes.
And when we meet, Dr. Myers very often has something to say about that meeting that they had. I said, oh, yes, that day. I thought you were both dreaming. He said, I thought that was a show.
That's right. But it was a dream that came true. The Lord saw to that. Well, thank you again, Mrs. Pechmar.
Join us for more special programming on Saturday, December 14th, as we celebrate 100 years of God's blessings on KFUO. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.